chapter, beginning at verse 13. Follow as I read. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Jews said to him, "What sign do you show us for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This table is for those who have come to and are dwelling in the true temple, the true living temple, which is none other than Jesus Christ. That second temple which Herod had renovated was a beautiful, magnificent structure, and it was the pride of Israel, of the Jewish people. But its purpose was not meant to be an end in itself, but rather to serve as a sign which pointed to the one who dwells with his people by faith. And so this table of the Lord is an ongoing sign of that ongoing dwelling that we have with Jesus Christ, the true temple of God. By faith, we live in Jesus Christ. And so if this is your confession, that you are living in Christ by faith, that you've been baptized as an initial sign of that faith in Christ, and that you are a member of a church, because baptism without the discipline and accountability of the local church is a serious inconsistency. If you are so connected with the body of Christ, and you understand that our faith is every bit as much collective as it is individual. We see that throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, actually. This communion that we partake of, the bread that speaks to us of the body of our Lord, broken, suffering, dying for us, and the cup which speaks to us of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on behalf of sinners. He died a real death, satisfying justice, and pleads atonement, pleads forgiveness, rather, before the Father. And he does that as our faithful high priest, and we do this together. We don't do this individually. We don't send for our little communion cup and little wafer and sit in front of the TV or whatever. We do this together as a body, reflecting that connection with one another because of our connection in Christ. So again, you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are living in Him by faith. You have been baptized. You are a member of a church. If these things are true of you, then you are welcome to this table of the Lord. We do not wish to exclude you, but we are simply doing what the Scriptures command us to do. And we ask you to resolve these matters in your life. That don't stay in that excluded position, but resolve it. Take those steps that Jesus commands us to take. But we praise God for that privilege of that oneness that we have with Him in Jesus Christ. And we want to receive the bread and the cup with joy, with faith, with thanksgiving, and with a renewed sense that He is our life and He is the source of our strength to live this life each day, moment by moment, as we believe the gospel for our daily lives. Let's stand together and sing a hymn that prepares us for the Lord's Supper.